Welcome back to Zillennials Podcast. Today on Zillennials, we've got a couple different things going on. We may or may not get roasted by Mark. So Mark is our guest, if you couldn't already tell. Then we've also got some hot question mark takes. I guess we'll see if they're hot or not, and Mark can be the judge of whether or not they're hot takes. Thanks so much for joining us, Mark. We really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be back. Am I going to roast? I mean, we'll see. But I'm looking forward to getting into it regardless.
I think this episode is a long time in the making because it's kind of become a running joke between me and Kaylee, and I feel like Mark's been brought in, about how on this podcast, Kaylee and I will say things and then qualify it by like, okay, this might be kind of controversial. I hope we don't upset people. And then we basically just say like, I don't like bananas.
The least controversial thing ever.
And so we thought, why not turn this into an actual podcast? And then a few months ago, we did a this or that or some sort of hot take-esque thing. I can't remember what it was. But then Mark was saying, I have thoughts on this. And I was like, okay, Mark, come share your thoughts.
And, you know, right out the gate, I'm just going to get right into it. So here I am minding my business, just, you know, listening to a dear friend's podcast in the kitchen while I'm chopping my little onions and making my little meals. And all of a sudden, I hear the host, Leanne, say, well, I have a hot take. Well, Mark probably wouldn't think it's so hot. And I felt a little attacked by that. I did, because I was not there to defend myself. And I was a little bit taken aback. I was. And the audacity, you know, the audacity. Provided, did I think it was a hot take? No. No, I did not. But that, really got me going in the moment.
Well, we are giving you the forum now to defend yourself, air your grievances. So, what was that specific hot take that got you fired up?
Wouldn't you like to know? I don't actually remember. it was the preamble. However, I think the episode you were talking about was beige flags, like red.
Oh, there was like red, yellow, and beige flags. And the one that I remember off of that episode whenever I think about it is the one about the person eating ants. I cannot get that out of my head.
Could you remind me what your stances on that were?
I said that was like a red flag, I think, because gross. But I think I could also see it from the point of like additional protein, but also gross.
You're willing to give them way more grace than I would. I think that is, like, psychotic. A flaming red flag to me. Ants? Oh, my God. Oh, that's just making my skin crawl thinking about it. What's the vehicle for that? Is it, like, a straw? Is it a spoon? Are they just freehanding it? A la carte?
I guess you could, like, have real ants on a log, like the food. But that would be really gross.
I mean, I don't even like the food version because I don't like celery.
Yeah, I forget what that is also, but not off to a great start. I am not a huge fan of celery either. I've also now concocted this narrative of that couple in my head where the other person in that relationship tries to do something romantic for the person that likes ants, and they make ants on a log, but they use real ants. They're like, I made it just for you.
Oh, no, no.
You shouldn't have.
No, really, you shouldn't have.
I'm with you.
So the one that I always think about from that episode is the person that talked about how her boyfriend always like saves his underwear that has holes in it so that he like just rips it off and he'll do it at random moments, and how like that is like so terrifying because I was like, what if you like have a surprise guest and he just walks in and rips his underwear off and then your friend can never come over to your house ever again?
Or like, what if you're on a work call and they just walk in the room and then you're like, nope, cover the cameras.
So was that a red flag for you, Leanne, and Kaylee?
I feel like we've had both said yellow flag. Like, it's definitely not something that I'd be like,
oh yeah, this is great, but it'd also be something that I'd be like, I don't think it's something that I'd be like, I absolutely must break up with you over this.
Well, I think part of the reason I said yellow is that if it's just the two of you, I think it's hilarious. It's just the risk of, like, collateral damage.
Yeah.
That makes it kind of challenging.
Yeah. You are assuming some risk, I guess, by accepting that. I feel like, to be honest, I would be so charmed by that. That's so funny.
I love that.
I was just going to ask if they... Did they say they did it in front of people? Or was, like... Was there information?
I don't think that information was given. I would assume that they don't, but you never know.
You know that thing where, like, let's say you're going to have dinner with a friend and you're, like, just going to go out and they're not expecting the friend to come up. And so, like, what if the friend's like, I need to use the bathroom before I go home? And so they come up and then the boyfriend thinks it's just you. You open the door and then he rips his underwear off.
I feel like that would happen less often than you would think, though. I think that they'd be very conscious about when they're doing this.
Oh, I'm sure they would be, but just that slight chance.
That slight chance is just enough for you to move it from a beige flag to a yellow flag.
Yeah.
I do love the idea of the nerve of someone to be like, to hear like footsteps in the background, and then they just rip it off anyway.
A lot of confidence.
Yeah.
On a similar thing is, I don't think this is from that episode. It could have been as like a tangent thing, but I read this, I think it might have been in New York Times, you know, when they publish things about people who are getting married and it tells their whole story. And the guy was talking about how, I guess, his now husband planned this whole elaborate proposal. And then I don't know if they were like in a park or on the beach or something, but like, then the proposal happens, and then apparently, like, the friends and families just jumped out of the bushes. And I find this absolutely terrifying, and I would never want this to happen.
Yeah, I feel like that'd be a little shocking, for sure.
I mean, it obviously worked out for them, so I feel like they read the room and knew what the other person would handle or would like. But I'm just like, surprise parties, too. Mm-mm, no surprise parties. Don't do it.
Ooh, no surprise parties. That's an interesting one. I'm with you on the proposal. I don't think I would like that if I found out after the fact that people just witnessed a moment I thought was just between, like, me and my significant other. And how could you communicate that also? Because it's like, oh, congratulations. You can't be like, I don't know that I love that you guys heard everything. Because you're here celebrating it.
I agree. I feel like that would be one of those things that I'd be like, what if I say something that's really embarrassing? I would not be happy if I found out that then I had an audience.
I agree. What are your takes on surprise parties?
They're awful.
I've never had a surprise party, so I don't know what my feelings are on them. Because I feel like I wouldn't know my feelings until like I actually had one. And then I could make a general statement.
I've never had them either, but I also know myself and I need warning when I'm going to socialize. So if I think I'm coming home and there's like 15 people in my living room, I am not going to be happy about it. And similar to what Mark said about that proposal is that you can't really say, I don't want you here. So you're kind of just stuck with them in your house and then you have to enjoy the party. When you really just wanted to be in your pajamas and rewatch Bake Off.
That is true.
I did have a surprise party once for my 21st birthday. And the setup of it was, it fell on a Sunday, which is when I usually, I'll go to my parents for like family dinner. And my mom, for my siblings and myself, she'll offer to like cook our favorite meal. And I had requested chicken cacciatore because it's one of my favorite dishes of hers, and I was looking forward to it all day. And then we showed up to, first of all, like, we showed up to the front door, which was already like, this is like, why, this is my parents' house, why are we going in this door? And then they were like, surprise! I was like, wait, what? I was just like very disarmed. And it was fun. It was, I appreciated it a lot, and I was very blindsided. And but I hate to say it, part of me was like, so is there no chicken cacciatore? I was looking forward to it. And I feel so rude saying that, because it was fun. But like, when I think back to that moment, you do kind of forget. I did get swept up in the festivities. And it's not like there wasn't food there. But I think you gotta be careful with the setup if you're planning it for someone else. It can't be anything. I feel like you almost gotta plan something like bad. So the expectation is low.
Yeah, you tell them we need to talk, and then they come home and it's a surprise party.
Yeah. I think that's it.
Wait, is this the party? Or is this a different time than the one where I think one of, like, your siblings planned it, and you had some birthday party that I wasn't there because I wasn't invited, and then I think, like, we were talking about it. I was like, wait, what? I was never there.
It was that one.
Okay.
Yeah, it was, and again, I feel it's hard to, like, give critiques on a party that was, like, that people sacrificed a lot to throw for you. But I had no say over who was there also. So when, like, Leanne wasn't there, I was like, well, where's Leanne? And some of my other friends, and they just kind of got away from me. I apologize for that also.
I mean, you didn't plan it, so, like, I don't really care. But I feel like that would give me so much anxiety as the planner of a surprise party. Because I'd play this game of, like, is this everyone that they want there? Did I invite somebody that I think is their friend, but, like, they're not really friends anymore, or they're not close anymore? And then I'd be so worried. Also, like, I don't know my friend's friend's contacts.
True. I feel like it would require some level of snooping, where it's like you have to go through their phone or something and be like, I have this contact, I have this contact, I'm still in this contact. So you have all the contacts of the people who you need to get to. Unless it's all just, like, mutual family friends, in which case, like, that's still fun, but personally I'd be a little like, you didn't invite my friends who are not just family friends.
It's tricky. It's tricky. It's delicate work.
Mm-hmm. Well, do we want to segue into the hot takes section, and then Mark can tell us whether or not they're actually hot takes?
Let's do it.
My hot take is that the Barbie movie did not do as much for feminism as everybody says that it did. Because I think that even though it was, like, great and it brought up a lot of good points, I think that the Barbie movie said things that we already knew. Like, if you were a feminist, you already knew these things. It just reiterated.
I know Mark is supposed to be roasting, but I remember when we visited and I was saying the Barbie movie was overrated and you were trying to talk me out of it. And now I hear this.
Okay, I don't think it's overrated. I think it was a good movie. Like, that is my stance on it, is I think it was a good movie. I think it was enjoyable. I think it was funny. I think it brought up a lot of good points. But I do think that it didn't do as much for feminism as everybody says. Leanne, have you seen the Barbie movie?
No, but I don't want to.
How can you speak on a movie you have not seen?
It's not making new commentary. And I resent the fact that I'm supposed to like it just because I'm a woman.
Okay, that last bit, I understand. That last bit, yes.
I don't have to like it. And I feel like everyone our age will completely destroy you if you say you didn't like the Barbie movie, or you're not interested in it, or that it's not as great as everyone's saying. Like, it could be as a piece of entertainment, like, as a movie, but as a, like, cultural commentary piece, no.
I still feel like you need to see it.
I'm going to respectfully not evaluate the degree to which I think this is a hot take. I mean, I love this. I don't think it's really my place to say how much it did for feminism personally. I liked it. Again, I thought it was very entertaining. The points, were they super groundbreaking? No. I would like to add also, Ryan Gosling got an award for it over, like, who was it?
Billie Eilish?
Yeah, for I'm Just Ken. Like, that was kind of my least favorite part of the movie. And I'm like, and this is the person that we decide to give the accolades to? I feel like that kind of undermines a big point of
the whole
movie. Yeah.
Yes. I agree with you 100%. I think that Billie Eilish was robbed. I think that she should have gotten that award. And I think even Ryan Gosling's reaction to when he got the award, where he sent somebody up to accept it for him because he was like, no. I think that it just went to show that, like, men are still getting credit, even in a movie that's, like, supposed to be all about women. It was definitely a sore point for me. I did not love that. I'm Just Ken was still, like, a fun song, though. It was still, like, a good song, a fun song. The dance break was great, but I just think that I would have rather it went to Billy. But that's just me.
I guess my distaste is more the hype around it than the actual movie itself.
Yes, like, you dislike the hype. You dislike that people are like, this is so groundbreaking. You don't hate the movie itself. It's more so, like, you hate everyone's commentary around it because it's not all that it's cracked up to be.
Yeah, and I feel like it's not even hate. It's just more it annoys me a lot. And I think that's the realization I came during this conversation, is that it's not the movie. It's everybody talking about it nonstop.
Yeah, because they always build it up to a standard that it can't live up to. I feel like you see it happen all the time. Like, that's why I couldn't get into, like, Game of Thrones, Breaking Bad, because when they were big, everyone was just like, it's so good. No, it's so good. No, just give it a chance. It's so good. And then, what if you don't like it? It's time you're not getting back.
And then people roast you for not liking it. They're like, what's wrong with you? And you're like, nothing? Anyway.
Who would ever roast you for having a hot take?
I have a question, and then we can finally move on. Do you think, I guess, Barbie and Oppenheimer would have been as big as it was if normal movie press circuits could have occurred at the time? Because it happened during the strike, and so no one was allowed to promote, but because it became this whole, like, cultural phenomenon that fed itself, they were almost self-promoting by all the people writing about it and all the people, like, regular people just, like, tweeting about it. So it became this whole big thing, and then it didn't matter that actors couldn't promote it, and there was really no other movies that got airspace during that time.
Mm, that is a really good point.
I feel like that might have contributed to their success or their hype, yeah, because honestly, like, objectively, if you were to say, go watch a movie about Barbie or go watch a movie about the making of the atomic bomb, I don't think I'd be super enthused about either one.
And it's not to take, like, obviously Barbie made a lot of money, so it was, like, successful from the film industry perspective, and it probably would have still made a lot of money anyway. I just think it was, like, this weird vacuum where we had nothing else to pay attention to in terms of the film industry.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think that definitely, I can't remember a single other movie that was coming out around the time, so I feel like that worked in both of those movies' favors.
Yeah, just food for thought about it. Okay, moving on, seeing as we've spent like 15 minutes on Barbie. So my hot take to contribute, and I did not know this was a hot take until I saw someone on Instagram roasting people for doing this, is it is okay to take your shoes off on a plane. I told you this, Mark, already.
Yeah, we did talk about this briefly, Leanne, but continue.
I think Kaylee should go first, and then I'll say why I think it's okay.
While I could see from the perspective of, like, it's much more comfortable to take your shoes off on a plane because the air pressure stuff happens, and then all of a sudden your feet are swollen to the size of watermelons, I feel like it's kind of gross for the person who you're sitting next to, because it's like, what if your foot just goes and, like, touches them? And then it's like, I don't know, it's just gross. It's just, I don't like it. What if you have smelly feet? I don't want to be next to you if you got smelly feet. That's why I don't like it. It's mostly those two things. It's like, it's not about the person themselves doing it. It's more so about, like, the impact on other people around them. Or alternatively, I also feel like planes are really dirty and gross. And so, like, are you just going to hover your feet for, like, the whole entire flight? I mean, like, Leanne, you probably could because you're shorter. But, like, people who are not shorter cannot just hover their feet for, like, the whole entire flight.
So is this a short privilege thing, then?
I think so.
Mark, do you have stuff to say, or can I go off?
No, I'm just thinking about, like, I haven't flown that much, and I didn't actually even realize this was a thing until Leanne and I were talking about it. But now I'm just thinking about how self-conscious I would feel, because I'd be like, oh, wait, like, do my feet smell? Like, am I encroaching on the people next to me? My socks never match. There's a lot of factors that I'm only now considering. While I ponder those, Leanne, you're free to go off.
I don't know why you people are so concerned about your feet smelling. Like, I assume you shower. I assume you have hygiene. Just take a shower before you get on the plane. Second of all, no chance am I sitting on a 18-hour flight to and keeping my shoes on for 18 hours. That is not happening. Also, to Kaylee's point that planes are nasty, if you get up to walk around, you have to put your shoes on. Also, I will admit, I am guilty. I do this. But I think I've only done it when I'm flying with people I know and that's the person next to me. I don't think I've ever done it with, like, a rando next to me.
See, I feel like that changes things, though. Like, if it's somebody you know next to you, I'm like, all right, I can trust Leanne to have good hygiene and not have smelly feet. But I'm like, if it's somebody random next to me, I'm like, how do I know that your feet do not smell like garbage? Like, I'm sorry, I cannot take that risk. Or, like, what if you have hyperhidrosis? Which is not to shame people with hyperhidrosis. And your feet are really sweaty. There's nothing you can do about that.
Oh my goodness. Now I'm just thinking about a pair of big, sopping wet, sweaty feet. Just like saturating a pair of socks on an airplane.
I think for most people, it's actually like okay. I think for most people, you have decent hygiene. You'll, like, if somebody takes their socks, their shoes off next to you, like, you'll live. I think it's mostly the encroaching on, like, other people's space with your feet thing that weirds me out. And then also, like, it would be a problem if it smelled. If it smelled, I'd be like, this is unpleasant. But, like, if it doesn't, sure.
You reminded me when you said socks. For the record, and for anybody listening, I only do this, and you should only do this if you're wearing socks. I don't want to see your bare feet.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Like, if you're wearing flip-flops, I don't know why you wear flip-flops on a plane. You cannot take your flip-flop off, because then your just foot is there. But I feel like if you're wearing a sock, there's still a barrier. It's not like your bare foot is on the nasty plane.
Point about the flip-flop thing. What if you took your shoe out of the flip-flop, or your shoe out of the flip-flop, your foot out of the flip-flop, and you just, like, rest it on top of the flip-flop? Is that acceptable? Because I feel like that's more or less the same thing as just wearing the flip-flop.
No, I think that's fine. I mean, I don't want you to crisscross applesauce with your bare foot next to me.
Yeah, no, that's gross. That's gross. Mm-hmm.
For some reason, the thought of someone doing that with their flip-flops, that would make me, like, irrationally angry to witness. Because that's just, like, I don't know. The way I'm picturing it is, like, just two bare feet resting on top of a pair of flip-flops. If I saw a stranger do that, I'd be like, okay, you're getting a little too comfortable over here. Like, I better not see those wander.
Here's the thing about the flip-flop thing and why I think it's okay to take your shoes off, but you have to have a sock. It's like, if you're wearing flip-flops and your shoes are off and they're not resting, say, on the flip-flop or on the ground, is that when you wear flip-flops in the summer, your feet get dirtier than when you're wearing shoes and socks. So that's why I feel like it's okay. But if you're in the summer and your foot's getting dirty and then you put your foot on things, that's where you get the issue. To Mark's point, I do think it's a little weird to rest them on top, but I also understand that if you took your flip-flops off on a plane, you don't want your bare foot to touch that ground.
No.
Yeah.
To which I would argue, you should bring plain socks so that when you take your flip-flops off, you can put your little socks on.
See, I feel like I can get behind this more because you have made it pretty clear that whoever has their feet out are having socks on. Because when I read the comments initially, in our outline, it says people taking shoes and socks off on planes. And so I'm like thinking full barefoot is out. And I'm like, mm-mm, mm-mm, mm-mm.
Well, that was the original thing I saw. But I was just saying, like, it's okay to take your shoes off. So I guess it's not that hot then, since we walked it back from shoes and socks.
I'm still a little dicey with it.
So you're trying to tell me when you went to China, you had your shoes on the whole time?
Yes, I did. I had my shoes on the whole time when I flew back from Bangladesh. And that was like a 16-hour flight from India and 2 or 3 hours from Bangladesh. The whole time.
Shoes are so uncomfortable. But also, the whole thing about Kaylee travels in jeans. Maybe Kaylee just doesn't like being comfy on planes.
I'm with Kaylee on this one, honestly. I'm pretty comfortable in jeans. Which is just because my parents didn't like sweatpants, so that was like all I wore when I was leisuring. So I'm pretty comfortable in them now. So I feel you.
There's like two types of people that travel. People who look put together and people look like they rolled out of bed like 15 minutes ago. Guess what camp I'm in?
I'm gonna guess you're in the sweatpants camp.
Not full-on sweatpants. I usually will wear leggings, but I'm not opposed. I just think jeans are so restrictive. But I talked to Kaylee about this when she was here, and I think we agreed that there's a difference, because most of when I have done traveling on a plane, it's the whole, like, skinny jean era. And I think the difference is Kaylee's thinking about her nice wide leg jeans. And again, you gotta specify what cut.
Definitely wide leg jeans, or, like, if they are skinnier jeans, they're ones that are definitely, like, stretchier. They're not stiff, skinny jeans. Like, I couldn't do that. But I will say, my reasoning behind trying to make sure I look at least semi-presentable at the airport is because the airport is one of the few places where you will meet people from all over, from all walks of life. And so I think in part based on my theory that you will never know who you're going to meet at the airport. So, like, you never know if you're going to make, like, a business connection. You never know if you're going to, like, meet someone interesting. And that is why I strongly believe that I would not, like, go and fly in sweats most of the time.
I know I will be meeting zero people at the airport because my number one rule is see a stranger, put your headphones in. Also known as, I am introverted and don't strike up conversations with people I don't know, so I will not have the fear of looking like a complete mess while I may meet the very fancy partner of a law firm in the airport.
Long has this theory that I'm secretly extroverted, which I hate this theory, but he has this theory and this would totally go to prove his theory, and I don't like it. I only talk to people if they talk to me. I do not seek out the conversation. If they talk to me, I'm like, I will be nice, I will entertain this. But I will not seek out the conversation.
I will talk to people if they're like, where's the water fountain? Or where's the bathroom? But I am not chatting. And I think Kaylee's point makes sense if meeting somebody important was a risk you're taking at the airport. And it is not. I avoid all eye contact. If I do not know you, if I did not enter this airport with you, I am not looking at you. Because if I do, you might try to talk to me.
Kaylee, have you met anyone at the airport?
Well, I've had nice conversations with people, but not necessarily like a business connection. I'm still waiting for that to happen. It could happen.
With that attitude, I feel like it will. I feel like you're going to invite that into your life. That's such a... I appreciate that point of view.
I'm going to manifest it. It's going to happen. I'm going to find some really rich person and they're going to buy all of my art and then I can retire early.
I think something that may also make a difference is, especially recently, Kayla, you've been doing a lot more travel for work. I know a lot of times, like, you'll get picked up by somebody. So I see a point in that. You don't necessarily need or want to wear a suit, but you want to look professional. All my travel has been personal. So, like, I'm not meeting some random representative at the airport. So, like, I think business versus pleasure travel would also influence what I would wear.
Yeah, because we get, like, picked up and dropped off at the airport a lot of the times. Not all the time, but a lot of the time. And then the part that's really awkward about it is, like, the people, when they pick you up at the airport, are for sure wearing suits. And so it's like, I cannot show up in, like, sweatpants. That's not gonna fly. So, like, I have a preset outfit of what I wear whenever I, Mark, I just got...
I'm sorry.
So distracted. I'm sorry, that was great. The pun, I love it. Anyways. But I have, like, a preset outfit of what I wear. Like, I have a skirt that has, like, a stretchy waistband and, like, a high neck top and, like, with short sleeves, which I will always wear whenever I'm traveling because it's comfortable enough that I can wear it for, like, 10 to 16 hours on a plane, but also looks nice enough when I get picked up that it's not, like, what are you wearing?
Can I say, that skirt situation to me sounds a lot more attractive than pants.
It's pretty good. I do like it. But it has no pockets.
That is a critical error.
Yeah, I could see a skirt being comfortable, though. But yeah, I could be frustrated with, like, that kind of expectation if I hadn't put myself in the context of, like, very professional-looking people kind of being with you throughout the process and the pressure that must kind of put on you. Likely, and I've also mostly traveled for leisure. And to that point, I've been on, like, 2 flights in the past 10 years. So we're getting that up there. We're increasing the tally. But yeah, it's giving me a lot to think about.
I think we'll all be going on planes within the next 6 months. We should share what we're wearing.
Ooh, we can just, like, send a picture to the group chat.
Because I know Kaylee's going soon. Mark, you talked about something coming up. I have something coming up. Just to see what our airport outfits look like. It would also be interesting to see what the person we're traveling with is wearing. I feel like that is also interesting because I feel like there's different personalities going on.
That's true. Long is definitely going to be casual, and I might be like dressed up to look real cute because I'll be like, this is an excuse to dress real cute. Thank you for joining us, and thank you, Mark, for coming on.
My pleasure. I was sitting on a hot take, but now I could save it for another episode.
No, we need the hot take. Mark, tell us your hot take.
Are you sure? Are you sure? I don't want to run late.
Yes.
All right, here we go. My hot take is that gender reveal parties are stupid. So the concept of it is, it kind of irks me because you're kind of over-celebrating a set of gender norms and expectations that your child, they have no say in it to begin with and, like, little understanding of how that will dictate the rest of their life. But on top of that, the lengths people go to celebrate these are insane. Why do we need pyrotechnics to see if your baby's a boy or a girl? Like, that's great. Like, I'm all for baby showers and all of that. That's amazing. The gender of your child, I don't care. And I don't think it's worth all the fuss. Just, oh my goodness. It drives me insane.
But Mark, how are you supposed to know if you need to buy the blue onesie or the pink onesie?
Well, you know what? Great, because I've always pictured raising a child in green onesies anyway, so more love to green onesies. that's my contribution to this episode.
Agree. No, I think that you made a ton of really great points, and I think that I am so on the same page with you. I think that gender reveal parties are stupid. Plus, if you have to have like a separate gender reveal party from your baby shower, what are you doing?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't know, like, all for the baby shower. Go for it. Like, that deserves to be celebrated. But it seems like an offshoot. And to have it, like, you'd need to do that. Like, those would both have to be in, like, a 9-month window. And I feel like you're kind of asking a lot of people to, if you're doing, like, two separate celebrations for it, then, I don't know, that's kind of asking a lot of people. If you ask me, personally.
I mean, I agree with everything that's been said. Also, for anybody who's listening, the onesie comment is sarcasm in case you can't pick it up. Just wanted to clarify that before people came for me. Also, to Mark's point of, like, it is a lot to do in one period.
I think you can also, like, find ways to make it very cute without being, like, hinged on gender. You know what I mean? Like, for example, you can decorate your kid's room and you can make it, like, Pokemon themed or Mario themed. They're going to love that regardless of what gender they are.
Also, one of the law school vloggers who graduated and that she had a baby a couple years ago, I think it was hers, where her baby shower theme was something about a cutie is coming or something like that. But, like, you know the little clementines that are called cuties? It's a brand, in case people don't know. And so it was all, like, clementine themed, and I thought it was adorable.
That is very cute.
That is adorable. I love that.
Yes.
So yeah, I think there are still ways to make it cute.
Yeah, more of that. More of cutie-themed energy for all you out there planning this baby shower gender reveal party. Let's, you know, take note.
Also, random question. Do you have to buy an additional present for this baby gender reveal? Because that's a lot of presents.
I think it depends on if they're doing it, like, in conjunction with the baby shower or if they're doing, like, a separate, like, gender reveal party. Like, I feel like if it's separate, then yes. But I feel like if it's not separate, then no.
So you're buying them two baby gifts? Because that feels a little excessive. Like, I don't like that. You're already asking your friends to buy your child stuff. Like, I don't think you should do it twice.
Please show up with one blue wrapped gift and one pink wrapped gift.
Yeah, right? Because you don't know.
Plus, even whatever they're predicted to be is not always necessarily accurate.
Another good point. Now that I'm saying it, I'm not even sure that if they are, like, separate events, technically, but, like, I've been to baby showers without them, so in my head, I'm just like, oh, well, it must be entirely separate.
I don't know if they're separate either. I feel like for some people they might make them separate, but I don't know for sure. I'm not experienced in baby shower land yet.
Yeah. I feel like that's on the horizon for us, though.
Don't say that. I'm not ready.
I think in terms of baby shower season and wedding season, I'm not ready financially because that is expensive on your friends.
Yeah. Or just in terms of like other people inviting us to them. But yeah, I agree. I've got some things to kind of flush out before for that.
I feel like wedding season has begun and I know that baby season will be next. I'm not prepared.
I say I'm not prepared, but then also I forget the fact that we're basically almost 30. Kyle makes fun of me because I round up.
I feel like once you reach 27, you just automatically are like, and I'm 30 now.
Right?
Why delay?
But he's like, no, you're not. Do you round up, Mark?
I mean, yeah, because I am 27. And at this point, I'm like, well, I don't know. I feel like a much different person than I was at the start of my 20s. So it makes more sense in my head to just kind of accept that that decade of my life is over now. So it doesn't feel like it's snuck up on me when I actually am 30. But yeah, I think it's just, it makes sense. And I'm not really that. I say now that I'm not attached to it, but again, I'm not 30 yet. So we'll find out one day.
I don't know. I feel like I have very mixed feelings about it, but that's a conversation for another podcast. So our next book club, for those of you who are interested in the book clubs, is going to be Pockets, An Intimate History of How We Keep Things Close by Hannah Carlson.
We hope you enjoyed this discussion or hot takes. If you have any hot takes, feel free to share them. You can send them to our email at zillennialspodcast@gmail.com or DM us on Instagram @zillennialspodcast. And don't forget to rate and review the show wherever you're listening.